It's Tuesday, listeners, and that means the Nonfiction Friends podcast is here to greet your ears. This week, we have a very special subject that is near and dear to our hearts. It is around 793 in the nonfiction section, and it is video games. This week, I am joined again by Emily.
Hello again, listeners.
So we will be talking about our video game experiences, both good and bad, I would assume. And we do have a couple of books that we can share with you that we do have available here in our library. Now, do you want to start off with some questions?
Yes, I think it's always fun to get out of the way. What is your favorite video game? Even though that is a very difficult question to answer.
I knew this question was going to come up. I gotta go with, like, I guess it has to be like a game that I've spent like hours and hours in, right? I have a rough time choosing between Halo 3. That was very formative for me in my youth, you could say. I spent, I think I remember looking on the website for the game before it got taken off, that I had logged in around 5,000 games.
Oh my goodness. Was that on Halo Waypoint?
No, it was on Bungie's website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I will stick with Halo 3 for my favorite game. Just because I played it over and over again. Amazing storyline. Absolutely fun to play with friends. And I think that like really started off my me playing video games.
That makes sense, especially because I think a lot of video games kind of helped people foster a community. It was, like you said, it's a great way to play with friends, sometimes friends from really, really far away, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite game is actually one from the 90s, I believe. I think it's 96 or 97. That would be Spyro the Dragon.
Good game.
Yeah. And it is the first and second game in particular that I have a huge heart for. And every now and then I actually revisit the games because I like to see if I can remember what the secrets are and where the good little Easter eggs are. So it's if you like scavenger hunts, that's definitely the way to go.
Yeah, I do like playing old games because it's like, I know where all the secrets are.
Yes. And at the end you can feel superior. Oh, look at that 100%. How easy was it for me to get that?
Yeah, and it's nice to like to play sequels in those games because like I know how your secrets work.
Yeah,
like, I bet you there's something behind this door. Aha!
Exactly.
Yeah.
I used to have that experience with Tomb Raider. I played that game with my mom quite a bit. She was the one who actually got into that game, and it got to the point where when my brother and I would come home from school, she would have like one of those cute little PlayStation cutscenes saved up for us that we could all watch together, and it would usher her into the next stage of the game, which no doubt would be another equally difficult puzzle.
Oh. That's really cool, actually.
Yes, it's really, really cool.
Do you have a favorite genre of video game?
I have a couple of favorites. I was quite late to the game when it came to FPSs. I didn't come across Halo until I was in my like early 20s, late teens, so I wasn't ushered into the LAN parties until it was already over with. But I quite like FPSs. They have to have some kind of storyline or some kind of sci-fi fantasy element to them. So for example, like Borderlands would fit that. Halo definitely fits that. BioShock for sure is one of my all-time favorite games.
Yeah.
I also love anything that's really open world. So I actually find Minecraft very therapeutic.
I think a lot of people do.
Just sitting there picking away, an explosion in the background, and you're still alive. Yes. What about yourself?
I lean more towards action adventure. I do like games with puzzles in them, though I'm not very good at them. I do like a challenge, though. I like to play real-time strategy games. I'm not good at them at all, that I can say for certain. But it's fun to see other people excel at it and be like, oh, I didn't even know you could do that with that. And then, I don't know. It's fun to watch, fun to play sometimes, maybe not against other people.
So perhaps for our uninitiated listeners, we should probably go over the terms. So FPSMP, first person shooter.
Yeah.
Open world is, as stated, enter a game and you can pretty much do whatever you like within the boundaries of the game.
Yes.
And then real time strategy would be something like Halo Wars, right? Age of Empires.
Yes.
That kind of thing. What about Final Fantasy? Is that considered real time strategy or is that Or is it it's turn based. I think that's what it's called. I hate those games. I feel like that if you're in an aggressive fight with somebody, nobody's ever that polite, despite how they depict dueling.
So I'm going to take 5 minutes on this turn.
That would never happen in reality. Which is, of course, what we're looking for in video games.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite retro game that you still go back to every now and then that you see elements of perhaps in later games, more modern games now?
I mean, jeez, I used to play a lot of retro games like Joust and, I don't know, Asteroids and a lot of like weird ones that like you don't hear about. I go back and think about adventure a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it was like, it's really simple, but a lot of concepts in that game are intertwined with games that you would find today. It's like, oh, get this key to unlock the door to get this to go into this castle. Has one of the coolest Easter eggs, the first Easter egg in video gaming. And while you're just like a square, like you play as a square, it's still really cool. Yeah, probably adventure.
Adventure for sure, right?
Yeah.
That's why I got into Tomb Raider. It's kind of why I still have a thing for Spyro, and let's not forget Crash Bandicoot, which, by the way, the viewpoints of those games where you had to run with the creature behind you and you were running towards the screen confused me so much.
Oh, yeah.
Like, only play as Indiana Jones if you were Indiana Jones. That was extremely nerve-wracking for me to this day. How do you feel about, say, PC games? Because I find that PC games have a lot more freedom in terms of modding and communication. Oh, yeah, sure.
And, like, there's a greater variety of games.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, like, developers that are just starting out usually release on PC because it's, like, the easiest platform to release on before they come to, like, anything like console or, like, something like that. I do like PC games. I would like them more if I had a better computer, probably.
Yes, I too would prefer something that suited those gaming graphics.
I mean, I have an account with Steam that you get PC games from. A lot of people get their PC games from. And I just don't have a lot of games on there just because I can't. My computer can't. It'll melt if it decided to like run any of those games. Like I have one of the games I bought off of Steam is Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Oh yes,
it's like the old roller coaster, like the original one.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that game for a lot of reasons. Just like I just pick it up every now and then, make a park, mess around.
Have people go flying in the air.
Yeah,
with the roller coasters.
It's really good.
I tried playing that game too on my laptop and it shut down.
Oh, okay. So your laptop just said no.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, I had gotten to the point where I was like, okay, we have our first, little venture. It's going to end badly and I can't wait to watch this. And then my computer shut down. I think it realized what a psychopath I was being and said no. Which I totally understand. So I feel like we should also bring out World of Warcraft, which when people tend to think about video games, I find with the console games, they don't necessarily think of Halo first or Resident Evil. They tend to think of the consoles first. But when you think of like the game, I feel like people think of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's a game that a lot of people, like a name that a lot of people have heard and are familiar with. Familiar with, like, in the sense of Yeah, that's a game.
Like, you're a nerd because you play that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when I made, like, the leap from console-based gaming to PC gaming and then to World of Warcraft, I definitely felt like I was going to another dungeon level.
You took another step into, like, nerddom.
It was definitely a plunge. Like, and getting used to the format of, like, oh, I can talk to people wherever, and, like, the use of guilds and personalizing your character. And yes. It was definitely, like, it's definitely a whole... of its own world, that's for sure. The book I actually chose to read was by an anthropologist named Barney A. Nardi. She wrote a book called My Life as a Night Elf Priest. She basically
That's a great name.
It's such a great name, and I love that she chose like a night elf, like her reasoning behind that. Oh, I just fell in love with the way they looked, which I feel like is what we all do when
it's like, oh, this person looks really cool. However, I will say, like, now in games, if I'm choosing a race, I will go more tactically about it.
I've heard other people say that too.
Because, like, oh, yeah. Well, this species can breathe underwater. I feel like that's more useful than, like, a human.
I totally agree. To this day, I've never made a human character. I don't see the point. Like, it's, I'm sure they have their own buffs.
I always go high elf or dark elf.
Oh. Yeah. I oscillate between, I have a couple of elves, but I also have, I love the Draenei. I think they're like my all-time favorite race.
They have the coolest look.
Yes. Plus, you can tell that some of the races are based on certain cultures, and they have a Russian accent. And I'll let you guys in on a little secret. I kind of have a thing for Russian accents, so it's really fun to run around the Exodar, which is their home area, and hear the Russian accents going along. It's very exciting. So basically, my book is just... this professor's experience as she's playing World of Warcraft, and it's a really good read. It's very easy to read for just the average person. My favorite part is when she asks her son to help her make a character, because that's how unfamiliar with the world she is.
Well, she wanted to get into it.
She wanted to get into it, that's for sure.
That's cool.
Yes. And I haven't looked through the whole book, but I've seen some of the later chapters that focus on community, which again is something that you see a lot of in the gaming world. For sure.
Yeah. What got you first into gaming?
Oh, this is a great story. I was on vacation from England. That's how all the good stories start. And I was in a Target, and I'm sure you guys remember those like demo consoles that they used to have at the various supermarkets.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
They had I think it was a Dreamcast, actually.
So
This is like way back when, like over 10 years ago. But I spotted this, and I was like, oh, this looks like fun. And I see this cute little purple dragon, and he's just kind of looking at me like, are you going to play me? Because we have gems to collect. And, you know, sparkling things are a girl's best friend. Yeah, right. Unless it's a rocket. So I grabbed the controller, and I started playing the game. And that was my initiation into the world of gaming. And then as soon as we got back to England and my mom got me a PlayStation, the first thing I asked for was Spyro the Dragon. And there we are again. But I've also played the Oregon Trail at my aunt's house, and I was really fond of getting dysentery, of dying of cholera. Those were my favorite things. And for the record, don't ever name characters after people you love, because they're always
they
the ones
die.
That die first. They're always the ones that die first. What about you?
I was thinking about this, and I was like, I was trying to pinpoint when I started first playing games, and it had to be on like an old Windows computer, I would imagine.
Oh.
Like with pinball, like the space pinball, like the 3D pinball or whatever. And then like from there, I believe in third grade, my teacher, who for some reason loved to play horror movies during class.
Oh my gosh.
And if you weren't, no, well, not like horror, like ghost stories during class. So like, I don't know why, like, on days when she's like, you know, we're going to watch a movie today. We're going to watch, like, The Ghost of Gettysburg. And I remember being really scared of it. And she's like, oh, you can just go play games on the computer. And I was like, okay. And I remember playing this one game. And it's like you were, I don't know, you worked for, like, the forest, like, fire department. And then you would fly around in this helicopter putting out fires that happened in the forest. And I think that was probably, that's the first experience I remember with playing a game. But then exposure, because in Disney World, they used to have this section that was all video games. They had a whole bunch of consoles there, and they just had games, like all the Disney games, like just playing all the time. And I remember spending hours there. Like, it's like, why don't we go ride something? No, I'm good.
Yeah.
But I think that was my first introduction. I mean, I guess in like, because I used to play a lot of Pokemon the card game. So the jump from there to getting it on a Game Boy was like obvious.
That's right. The Game Boys. I'd forgotten about that. So you went through all the Pokemon games every time they came out with a new one.
Tried to. I think I missed one, maybe.
Oh, did you ever catch them all?
I don't have time for that. But let's say that I did.
I'm okay with that. So, of all of the gaming achievements, because obviously different consoles have different things that you can get. I think on the PlayStation, it's a trophy, right?
And yeah, and Xbox, it's like achievements.
Achievements. PC games, it just depends on which platform you're using. So what is your all-time favorite challenge that you achieved intentionally or otherwise?
Okay, so I was thinking about this. It took me... This is taking me a while to think about, actually. I'm trying to decide which one I think is more momentous.
I will await your brilliance, Josh.
This is a two-part achievement.
Oh, God.
Because there's this game called Splinter Cell Conviction. Tom Clancy, you might be familiar. He writes a lot of books, too. You know, there's books about that. It's called Splinter Cell Conviction. And there is a co-op mode where you can go through the campaign as these two spies, Archer and Kestrel. And you go through these different installations, taking down different bad guys, being super stealthy about it. So the achievement is, it's, I think it was like worth like 150
G's.
Yeah.
One achievement?
Yeah, which is a lot for like an achievement. So it's to go through the entire campaign on the hardest difficulty without getting caught. And so I remember this achievement. This led to a lot of fights between me and my friend. But I wouldn't have been able to do it with anybody else except him. Because we've worked so well together. We've, like, in different games we've played through co-op throughout the years, there would have been no one else.
I have questions about the boundaries. So if you make a mistake and you get caught, can you reload it? Or does it automatically lock in that? And then that's it. You're screwed.
You have to restart the whole level.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I understand the arguments now.
Because we can get 3/4 of the way through the level and then have to restart.
Oh, my gosh.
But here's the thing. We got really fast at redoing some of the levels. Like, we got super quick. Like, the first level, which normally takes, I mean, over, like, 20, 25 minutes. Like, we were able to do it in, like, maybe, like, 10.
Oh, my gosh.
10 or less. And so we got really good at memorizing... Because you have to memorize, like, the guard patterns and everything. Oh, they're going to walk this way. They're going to walk this way. Okay, we'll wait, and then we'll take them out here, hide the body.
And I'm guessing the algorithm was fairly, like, friendly to you. Like, it didn't learn if you did something different each time. Because I know some games are like that.
Yeah. It was random. So, like, I think there was, like, a set of three algorithms that any level could spawn into as. So I was like, okay, so the guards are starting out here this time.
So it's this
So it's this pattern. We memorize that. So we get to the end, and, like, you're getting extracted. You're both on the plane. You're both on different sections of the plane talking. Because I think Archer is, like, the American version of the spy, and then Kestrel is the Russian version of the spy. And...
Does he have a Russian accent?
I don't remember. It's been so long. And... so you get orders while you're on the plane. It's like, to take out each other. You have to take out your partner because they know too much.
Oh my God.
And then my friend was like, wait, what are we supposed to do? And before he finished the question, I took him out.
Him?
I offed him before he... And he's like, what did you do?
Betrayal.
So we got the achievement for completing, like, the thing, the whole campaign on stealth. But... It's a separate, I think, 15G achievement to finish and, like, take out your partner. And so we had to replay the last mission so he could
get me.
Yeah.
Oh, Josh.
But I made it real difficult for him, so I started running and hiding everywhere.
Just to rub it in a little bit more.
Yeah. But yeah, that's probably my favorite one. What about you?
I have one that was actually kind of fairly lazy. I logged out of Halo 4 one day, logged in a couple of months later, and was given, I think, between, it was either like 150 to 200 Gs of online achievements, and I have no idea how that happened to this day. It simply happened.
What if someone was playing your account?
I mean, if they did, thank you. It would be like the person that recently hacked my Minecraft account and changed it to a name that I thought was so funny, I decided to keep it. Which I can't share with you guys for obvious reasons.
Okay, I think now's a good time to bring up the book that I brought. It's called Blood, Sweat, and Pixels by Jason Schreier. I hope I said that right. I actually ordered this book for the library because we didn't have it in the system. That's something you can do here at the library. If we don't have a book, we can order it for you or request it for purchase. And so I did that because I saw it on a video game website that I follow, and they had published this book. And I was like, oh, okay, I want to read about it. And so this book is about the video game industry in itself. So how certain games are made. Because you don't hear that story ever. Like if a piece of artwork or a movie, like they'll have like behind the scenes or like you'll get to talk to the artist. But video games are like a special like form of like media that never really gets representative, like how things are created or the struggles or how difficult it was just to get made. So there are stories in here from popular games that you might know, Destiny, Halo Wars, games that haven't even been made that got canceled, Star Wars 1313 and Dragon Age Inquisition. So there's stories in here from all of those games and those studios who made them and the process of going through that. And I thought it was a cool like behind the scenes look at how difficult it is. I remember always wanting to become a video game developer, but my uncle's one, and I know while he enjoys his work, the hours are absolutely brutal.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And the pay, sometimes good, sometimes bad, depending on where you work. So, this book I would recommend to anyone who wants to know more about the industry, or maybe they have one of these games is like one of their favorite all-time games and they wanted to learn more about it, like the behind the scenes. Maybe it wasn't as easy to get made as you think, because to get the product that you get on the shelves, you don't really get, you might not get all of like the years of work that got put into it just by playing the game. Or you might. Some games are really that good.
But it's true, and a lot of people don't see video games as art, but it really is, because it's not just the coding and the programming, it's the graphics, which is where the coding comes from, and or where the graphics come from. And there's also the story, character development. Like, you're bringing up Dragon Age Inquisition. Josh was actually the reason why I started playing a game called Dragon Age Origins, which is the first game in the series, and it has to date been one of the best games I have ever seen in terms of dialogue and character development, and just being able to sort of see how the plot plays out but not really knowing what's going to happen. It's almost like reading a book. So the other really fun thing about video games, aside from, you know, actually playing them and learning about the development industry, is also the fun little Easter eggs, which you've heard me and Josh mention throughout the program. Easter eggs are these fun little secrets that are in the game that the developers just kind of slip right in, and they just want you to find them, and they're usually really, really weird and really quirky and hilarious.
I know in, I think, I forget, it was like a SimCity game or something like that. Or no, it couldn't have been that. I know of one where a developer hid a picture of his wife and his child, like, behind one of the buildings in the game.
That's adorable.
So like you could only see it if you like bent your character like a certain way, like against a building. Like, and I know a lot of game studios
like Ubisoft, they'll usually put, if the game is based like in a certain place, like in the United States, like I believe The Division was, it's based in New York, and they have an office there. They actually made their office inside the game.
Oh, that's really cool. I love it.
Yeah.
I have two. My first one, it comes from Fable 2 in one of the DLC packs that you can get.
DLC meaning downloadable content. So, like, yes. Extra stuff that's not included in the original game.
It tends to expand the story, the gameplay. Sometimes it's worth it, sometimes it's not. This time it was worth it. I was doing some very OCD exploring in one of the expanded areas, and I literally just ran through a wall, and I entered a room that had a skeleton lying across a computer, and the joke was it was the developers dying, as in dying while they're developing the game. I laughed out loud. I thought that was hilarious. Another one I thought was really cool. If you guys aren't familiar with the Steam platform, it's also they're also part of Valve, which produces a lot of really cool games like Half-Life, Portal, Team Fortress, Left 4 Dead. When you're playing the Portal game, you actually come across, I believe it's a boat, which came from Half-Life, and you find out that there's been this like competition between the fictional corporations in the Portal and Half-Life universe, and it's just slipped my mind what the name of the... Black Mesa. Okay, so Black Mesa is the name of the corporation in Half-Life, and it's Aperture Sciences in Portal, and you find a Black Mesa ship in the Aperture Sciences.
Interesting. Bowels.
Yeah, it's really cool and really creepy. Like, you're standing there with the portal gun, like, what am I looking at? Like, it's a very U571 moment. Yeah. Very cool.
Okay. So, does that wrap up our video game?
Yes. Like a cute little side quest.
I really want to go play one now.
Me too.
Are you playing anything currently?
Okay, so Josh will attest to this. I'm very bad at starting games and then not finishing them. So I'm currently playing...
But you're very good at it.
Yes, I'm very good at it. That's right, that's right. I'm currently playing Dragon Age Origins, which I think I'm about a third of the way through that game. I like to revisit The Sims and Minecraft, which is part of the reason why I haven't finished Dragon Age Origins. Don't judge me, Josh.
Judge it.
I did start playing Assassin's Creed, but I could tell it was the kind of game that was a learning curve, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna need to do this like separately from Dragon Age Origins, but can't wait to get back into it.
Yeah.
What about you?
You might have heard about this game a lot in news today. I'm playing a lot of Fortnite, and I'm actually getting back into Destiny 2 today because a new expansion for the game came out today, so I'll be playing that later today. Well, maybe not today when you're listening to this, but today, as in when we're recording this. So now you know our secret. We time travel.
And we still come into work, even when a new expansion is being released. That's dedication, guys.
Yes, dedication. Okay, so we do have a program coming up, video game related. It will be at St. Cloud and the West Osceola branch. It's called Minecraft Mania. So you heard Emily talk a little bit about Minecraft and its open worldness. If you're interested in that, we do have play time at St. Cloud Thursday, May 17th at 4 p.m. And then at the West Osceola branch, it happens every Thursday at 4 p.m. So you can play it there recurrently.
Sounds really fun. And is that for kids, for adults? Families?
It's probably for kids.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you can't go. It's in the kids section, so I think it's for kids.
Okay. I feel reassured by that.
So well, I think I will leave you with the closing line.
All right. Thank you, listeners, for joining us on this quest. We hope you've enjoyed the adventure. I know I did. By the looks of Josh's excited face to go home and play his new expansion, he's really excited too.
We got another 5 hours.
And remember the question we always like to ask you, do we or don't we do away with noobs?
Do we?
I don't
know. Oh.
But I am the noob, so.
Trolls, yes.
Trolls, very much so.